This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, if you missed it, the breaking news in the last 30 minutes or so, the Houston Texans have agreed to a contract extension with Derek Stingley Jr., first team All-Pro cornerback, 3 years, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed. I would love to know where that that sliver of $1 million that's not guaranteed.
You know, I'll ask Texans cap about that, because Danielle Hunter, it seemed pretty similar. There's probably a $1 million that has to be, earned or something, or yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It is. It's like Nick's like, I'm not going to guarantee 100%.
I'm no sucker. All right,
you're not listening. I'm not talking to Jim Brown here. Okay, well, you're a good young football player, but I'm not going to go the full Monty.
You know what's funny about that is that there probably is a stigma on the fully guaranteed contract since Deshaun got his from Cleveland a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, there may be a stigma on that. Like, look.
Don't worry, everybody. We've got an out.
Yeah.
You can't earn that $1 million.
Yeah, we're going to get that $1 million back someday, all right?
We'll get that 0.35% of the cap back. Don't you worry about it.
Thing, all right? No, I like this deal, though. And by and large, it looks like Texan fans really like this deal, too. People weighing in. I love the Stingley contract. Bring on the Hornet's Nest. Is that what we're calling it? I like the kill zone.
It's in contention. The Hornet's Nest, the kill zone.
Yeah.
I think people were worried with the kill zone that it would just be, it's just too easy to be come up at, in an inappropriate time.
Yeah.
What with various things that happen these days.
Yes.
But the kill zone does sound better than
it's badass,
nest.
Man. Yeah.
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 Counterpoint on the text page, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I wouldn't guarantee a Stingley contract, Sean. I'm from LSU and I have a good memory. I could see where you'd be a little scarred. If you're both a Texans fan and an LSU fan.
Well, and that's where the short-term part of it comes in. Not that it all of a sudden erases Derek Stingley's lengthy injury history. He's had two healthy seasons since he got to college football. 2019, his freshman year, and then last year in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
There, without doing all the math, that's more unhealthy seasons than healthy seasons.
Yes.
by a long stretch.
A lot, yeah.
So, this is where two things I think you got to take into account. One is that, as it happens with some younger players, I remember I played with Fred Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Taylor was injured a lot in his first few years in the league, and he figured some things out about the way to handle his body, the way to handle recovery and rehab and all that, and ended up being way more durable in the second half
forever.
Of his
career. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it does happen. It happens with younger players all the time. On the baseball side of things, Carlos Correa learned how to manage it to where, after a while, the only thing that was injuring him was the massage therapist, allegedly, and then whatever that anomaly in his leg was.
Right.
So I'm cautiously optimistic that last year's version of Stingley, a more durable and healthy one, is the one that we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
But that is also why these short-term contracts, like you gave to Danielle Hunter, like you did with Nico Collins, like they did with Laremy Tunsil a couple times,
yeah,
they're appetizing to the team because you cover your butt a little bit on the injury side of things. The carrot on the stick for the player is, all right, I'm making top of the market right now, but then in a couple years, when the salary cap is increased yet again and my contract isn't going to be as competitive, if I just keep playing my ass off, then I can get another deal like this, either with the Texans or elsewhere. So it covers a lot of the concerns and or, you know, productive greed of either side.
Does it bother you that it was so much higher than the next closest one? I mean, this is a 20% bump over what the previous high was that was signed a week ago with J.C. Horn. Going from $25 million all the way up to $30
million. No, I like it. Without doing any thinking about it, but that's the irrational side of me.
I mean, to be clear, I think Stingley is 20% better than J.C. Horn, but we know how these markets work sometimes.
Well, that's where on the practical side of things, I think it makes sense that I think that Caserio might realize that, yeah, J.C. Horn's deal isn't going to be the one that sets the market, and that you're going to be up around $30 million per year regardless, so let's be the first in, like they did with Nico Collins last year. And maybe by the end of next offseason there's a really good chance that this looks like a relative bargain because the salaries are going to go up that much.
Two front offices that are cursing Nick Caserio today, the Jets and the Chiefs. You've got Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie, both extension eligible, and they've both been decorated in that same strata of cornerback that Derek Stingley currently resides in. So those two front offices are not happy with. They were probably planning on $25.2 million or whatever it was. Derek Stingley gets 30. I think this might be a tell for two things with the Texans as we're kind of looking forward here. Okay, this is the first like really big market setting contract that Nick Caserio has done as the Texans GM. Maybe the Tunsil extension qualifies as well, I guess, but I'm thinking more like young player coming off a rookie deal, second contract, big deal. Is this a tell for Will Anderson Jr. and CJ Stroud? If they keep playing at the level they're at, are we going to get the same tweet next summer or spring with Will Anderson Jr. getting $42 million a year, or whatever it is at that point, and CJ Stroud getting $62 million a year or whatever it is.
I think it's very, very possible. And this is one thing that I have always given Laremy Tunsil credit for, because I think it has been a good precedent to set on this team. So as much as we can talk about this, that, or the other with Laremy Tunsil, he was very cool with signing extensions that were very short-term extensions. And then the second time he got a new contract from the Texans, it was kind of a proof of concept that, hey, if the team likes what you're doing, then they'll give you a new contract. So even after Laremy Tunsil is gone, I do think there's a precedent on this team and an increasing precedent on other teams in the NFL that this is a good way to operate. That, hey, Laremy Tunsil did it, and he's a guy that negotiates his own contracts and don't take no BS from nobody, all that. That younger players see that and think that it does. And this is what I've long advocated. The NFL players, if you want guaranteed contracts or lots of guarantees, just sign a shorter deal.
Yeah.
And then what you also avoid is these annoying, incredibly annoying situations where a player decides 2 years into his five-year deal that he's underpaid. And that's not fair. It's not fair. I need more. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's a three-year deal. You're one of the top paid. Yes. If you play well, there's going to be other people that maybe you deserve more money then, but you're on a short-term contract. Yeah. Just play it out and go be a free agent.
Do you think that this contract, they paid Stingley, if you missed it, if you're just tuning in, Texans just signed Derek Stingley Jr. to a monster extension. 3 years, $90 million, nearly every penny of it guaranteed, $89 million guaranteed. So they've paid Stingley. I think it's a given. Barring injury or some quirky underperformance that I don't think anybody sees coming with either guy, I think Will Anderson Jr. is going to be a near, if not a market-setting contract at edge rusher. I think C.J. Stroud will be the next quarterback to get paid next summer, and that'll be in the $60 million range. They're going to have to steal from something in order to pay all these guys, Seth. Like these tippy-top contracts that they've not they've not been in this neighborhood before with this regime. Like, we're, you know, with Nick Caserio at the controls, they've not lived in this world that, like, the Eagles and the Chiefs live in, where you're having to figure out which guys are going to be our $20 and $30 million guys. I do wonder if the offensive line is going to be the thing where not only is there a shift in the culture in that room, but is there a shift into how they prioritize paying offensive line? Like, is that the Seth Payne offensive line that has five average guys doing their job together, is that the future of the Texans on the offensive line?
Okay, so in calling it the Seth Payne offensive line, it's not like that's my dream. It's my dream for the baseline you have to get to right now. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, then, yeah, you hopefully you draft a stud. You bring in some other guy develops into a stud, which tends to happen at the offensive line way more than at other positions. That makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, it's always a good problem to have. It's that if you draft well and
too many good guys,
It's like the Astros. Yeah, you're going to have too many good players, and at some point you're going to have to make some tough decisions. It's always, you know, and I think Laremy Tunsil fell into that boat of, all right, we're getting to a point where we've got to pay guys, we've got to keep cap space open. Is Laremy the exact guy that is worth keeping around and paying this money on this offensive line when they need so much? Well, they need so much work altogether. And it was, I don't want to say easy to make that decision, but it was a hard decision that they felt most appropriate right now.
Yeah.
That obviously having just Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line was not turning it into a good offensive line.
Nope.
So if we can get compensation for him and clear up some cap space, we got to go about not just paying Derek Stingley, but also finding five competent offensive linemen.
Yep. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I think this contract makes the entire secondary hungry. If Stingley was motivated by Nico Collins, imagine Lassiter, Bullock, and Petrie all looking at Stingley right now. It's a great point. I mean, that is something that you can tell from the get-go with Nick as the GM, and I would imagine with D'Amico, too. I think I've even heard D'Amico say something to this effect. They greatly value the intel of being around a guy every day versus going out. Like, Danielle Hunter is an exception to the rule in them giving $24-25 million a year, even over just 2 years, to a guy who's not been in the building. And I would imagine all the intel they had on Danielle Hunter was over the moon, really, really good. But there's a reason why, you know, for better or worse, like, there's a reason why they paid Dalton Schultz 3 years, $36 million, instead of dipping in and maybe going and getting a tight end that they didn't know anything about. Because they watched him work for that 1 year that he had the 1 year prove it deal he was on. Now, that one has not worked out thus far. But I think it's the same mindset that leads them to giving Nico Collins $24 million a year and leads them to giving Derek Stingley Jr. the contract that they gave him today, is that they watch this guy work in their ecosystem every single day. They value that intel.
If you think about, boy, I mean, that's, again, without putting the cart before the horse, those are nice problems to have when it comes to time to, if you've got multiple guys on the defense that have played up to that level to where they, I mean, you can't pay them all.
Them all.
Like, at some point, you're going to have to pull another Laremy Tunsil trade that maybe is a little bit more emotionally difficult.
Yes.
That's a great problem to have.
Absolutely.
It's been with the Astros for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not fun right now with the Astros, but you got to remember that this is what comes with having that many good players on your team, that you have that incredibly long World Series window.
Yep.
So yeah, hopefully. But I don't want to worry about it right now because they're not at that spot, obviously. But it's definitely a good carrot on the stick for those guys.
Hey, Sean and Seth, how much cap space do the Texans have now after the Stingley contract? I have no idea. I have no idea how the contract structure. They had $19 million coming into today, according to Over the Cap.
It probably won't affect the cap much at all because these extensions don't kick in until the next year usually.
Right.
So. Could be wrong on that, but like I don't think this will matter all that much. So it'll be a 3-year extension, but that doesn't include have we seen any details on it yet?
No details, just the 3 years, $90 million. So I'm sure they'll trickle out today. Whatever the Jets and Chiefs were thinking about giving Sauce and McDuffie, they need to change their plans now because Stingley is better than both of them. That's the problem is for those two teams is that I'm sure Sauce Gardner thinks he's better than Derek Stingley Jr., and I'm sure Trent McDuffie does as well. So, we'll see what happens. But the Texans, Texans made life a little more difficult for those two teams today, probably.
So if you look at Nico Collins, his deal, his his big money. No, I don't have it. Never mind. Okay. I apologize, everybody.
Okay, no worries. No worries. You brought this up, I think, during the break.
Nico Collins' first year of big salary is 2026.
Okay.
So he redid his deal last year, and his his salary, his base salary in 2025 is $1.1
million. Because they restructured him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in 2012, oh, that's right, they redid that, yeah. So I can't go back to the original.
Yeah, they restructured. I think the big money was going to kick in this year. This coming season.
This coming year, a year after
his rookie deal, they had
redone the deal. So usually this first year, it's not – Derek Stingley's deal probably isn't going to affect the way the Texans operate this season.
Correct.
Or at least not – obviously it's going to affect the way they plan and everything, but they still have cap space. It's not going to soak up a bunch of cap space.
You brought up a good question. What is Danielle Hunter thinking right now? Because there have been rumors of maybe them trying to extend him. He's a restructure candidate for sure if they're trying to open up cap space, because he's got a nearly fully guaranteed $24, $25 million deal this year. But, man, the roof has been blown off some of these positional markets, and his is one of them. I would love to know what both sides are thinking right now, Danielle Hunter and the Houston Texans, if there's any sort of staring contest or if there's any conversation going on. Is he a guy that the Texans, as they're putting a core together, like in the NFL, I think you can put a core together that you can feel good about being together for maybe 3 years. Like, that feels like the window, especially the window the Texans seem to be operating in. I don't know that I want to tack three more years onto Danielle Hunter's deal, but I wonder if he's of mind. He wants to be here badly enough where he would tack, another year at 30-something million onto his
deal. Right. It's a hard decision because he's everything that you want, but they also have a defensive end on the other side that's going to be making a boatload of money most likely pretty soon. And if you're Nick, you almost got to hope that, man, if they end up drafting a defensive end or just somebody develops that maybe they feel like they just don't want to commit that long term to a guy who's in his 30s.
Yeah.
But it's not like they've been afraid to commit pretty big money to guys in their 30s before. I would think this is what I would guess. I think Nick is cool with extending Danielle Hunter for maybe one more year. But the Danielle Hunter is thinking, all right, I'm only 1 year older than Myles Garrett, and if I'm going to be a free agent at the end of this season, I'm just going to go ahead and see what's out there. Or see if the Texans want to pony back up as a free agent, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I would have to want to be here really, really badly to forego one last dip into the pool of a market where the ceiling has now become 40. Now, it doesn't mean that Danielle Hunter's getting $40 million bucks, but it does mean he's probably getting way more than the 24 that he's currently getting.
We got to remember, Danielle's only been, he's been living back at home for a year now.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you first move back to your hometown, it's, oh yeah, this is awesome, man. Oh boy, it's great being around family. And then after a while, you remember like, oh boy, I'm really just around family all the time now, aren't I?
It happens.
I don't know. I don't know how it is for him.
It's a curiosity, man. I'm curious what's going on with that. All right, so if you missed it, the big news, Derek Stingley Jr., 3 years, $90 million extension. We'll continue to touch on that. Hard to find a report card, though, for the Texans in free agency.
Boo!
That's giving them good grades.
Boo.
I think there's a big reason for this. And I don't think it's the guys that they've signed, actually. I'll explain coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Should I just do a regular Pender poll, approval poll of this deal? Just a simple, do you approve of this deal for Derek Stingley Jr.? 3 years, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed, and see what the people say?
See what the people say, and we'll see if we get Alex Bregman to respond to it, too, because this is an Alex Bregman-type deal. Huge, huge ticket value, but shorter term. And then as you pointed out, the LSU connection.
Oh my God. Dude, the NIL collective at LSU is salivating right now.
Those guys. But I wonder if maybe Stingley talks to Bregman about this stuff. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe they crossed paths enough when Bregman was back there for an alumni event or somewhat. Yeah.
Got a deal done with David Mulligetta doing the deal. I wonder if there's still people with a little, Mulligetta PTSD from Deshaun back in the day. But as you point out, when Mulligetta's name comes up with respect to Deshaun, the Texans did get Deshaun up and out of here into the biggest guaranteed deal in the history of the sport at the time, by far. Like, I would not be mad at the Texans at all if I were David Mulligetta. David Mulligetta has made a lot of money due to the Texans shipping out Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think that David Mulligetta, I guess the first hint that maybe the Texans weren't opposed to doing business or couldn't do business with David Mulligetta was when they drafted C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
That it wasn't anything that happened with Deshaun wasn't going to be a barrier to it wasn't going to be a barrier to getting stuff done with players that they like. And that Mulligetta, I think, like, I always get dicey with this when talking about agents, because I don't want to paint agents out like they're saints or something. Mm-hmm. But by and large, they work for the players. And Mulligetta's had plenty of instances where he's had clients that haven't made a peep and haven't been pains in the butt, and then they get paid. He's got other clients that aren't necessarily huge marquee clients. So you can't look at Mulligetta like he's the boogeyman that's going to screw up all of your best laid hopes and dreams.
As far as the Texans go this offseason, you know, they've made plenty of significant moves. Very few of them, if any of them, have been actual free agency signings. You know, the most noteworthy things they've done are trade Laremy Tunsil, now extend Derek Stingley Jr. Even Christian Kirk wasn't a free agent. That was technically a trade. The biggest contract, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of just truly like sitting down and having a free agent put their pen to paper, in terms of average annual value, I want to say is Sheldon Rankins, 1 year, $7 million. And I look at the list of moves, Seth, and there's no singular move in free agency where they've signed somebody where I'm like, okay, well, that's a horrible move, because most of them are cheapo deals that may or may not make the team. You know, some of them are special teamer guys that, you know, Frank Ross is getting a few guys that make $2-4 million a year to run down there and keep special teams up where they've been traditionally with the Texans. It's hard to find, though, a report card out there for the Texans offseason that's anything above like a C-minus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that's mostly because of what they haven't done as opposed to who they've brought
I think it's a combination of trading away Laremy Tunsil, which is an eyebrow raiser for everybody outside of Houston. Mm-hmm. And as I told some people that are definite film watchers that, you know, have watched Laremy Tunsil and watched him closely, I think that there's just no replacement for actually watching the games in real time over and over again when you have an emotional investment in it. And that's where there's a gap between how people in Houston feel about the Laremy Tunsil trade and how the rest of the America sees it. Because when other people outside of Houston hear stuff like, well, culture this and salary cap that and everything, they don't really get the sum total of it all, the whole picture. And not to mention, they didn't have to live through watching C.J. Stroud get pressured by an entire offensive line. Not Laremy Tunsil on the pass protection side, but the entire offensive line being incredibly inept. But also, C.J. was put in those positions because he was in 2nd and 10 and 3rd and 10 a lot. Why? Well, one of the reasons was they can't run the ball, and Laremy Tunsil doesn't help you at all in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of that, it makes more sense to the Texans fan base, I think, and media members who follow them, that they could clear a bunch of cap space with Laremy Tunsil. Yes, you lose a good pass protector, but they've got a 5-man issue on the offensive line.
Yep.
Keeping Laremy Tunsil around wasn't going to help them. They would be prevent themselves from being the worst offensive line in the league last year, which mm-hmm. they were in some regards.
Yep. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What's really interesting about this Texans offseason is the fans' understanding of why these moves, especially the Tunsil deal, are being done. 10 or 15 years ago, if the team had traded away its Pro Bowl left tackle for a collection of picks, none of which were a first rounder, the phone lines would have been lit up on your show, people thinking the Texans are crazy. Maybe. I think, if we're going to look back and go, okay, what if they'd... I mean, they did trade an all-pro left tackle back in 2017. His name was Dwayne Brown.
But there was a whole lot of drama surrounding that.
Different type of drama, yeah, for sure.
You know when the other time where there was approval for this was back in 2012 or so, when the Texans had extended Arian Foster but also had to let go of Eric Winston.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eric Winston wasn't the same caliber of offensive tackle that Laremy Tunsil was, but he was a Pro Bowl offensive tackle on a good offense. But it was time where they had to make some of those decisions. And then That year or the next year was when they just let Mario Williams walk in free agency.
It was the year before. They let him walk. They let Mario walk after 2011, and then they cut Winston after. And they think they cut Winston in that same offseason.
So in that two-year period, they did have to make some of those tough decisions.
Yeah.
And they extended Matt Schaub, which I know in hindsight, it's not like everybody was full bore like, hell yeah, here we go, when they extended Matt Schaub. But it was a move that made sense.
Yeah.
So they had to make some tough decisions. And I think that the difference with the Texans is they're making a decision and letting it go of a good offensive lineman. But you got to look at the full context of what was going on in the offensive line and realize how much the cap savings can help and where how little Laremy Tunsil was really helping that offensive line become. Not because it's his fault per se, but they just have – they have an entire offensive line issue that you're going to have to tear it down to the studs and build it up. And that doesn't look good from the outside. It doesn't feel awesome right now.
No.
It doesn't feel like they're right on their path.
No.
Because there's a lot of unknowns about how they're going to handle everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens next here with all this.
All right. This is the one thing that's annoying me, though, is that I do see in people appraising and assessing the Texans offseason, or when they say free agency, some of the people that write the articles genuinely ignore the trades, and I'll see it because I'll read some of the articles and they won't mention any of the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, well, you have to – can we acknowledge that getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson for Kenyon Green is a really, really good player-for-player trade? That the Eagles would never want to make that trade except that they have to shed salary
right now.
Like, that's a good trade. The Christian Kirk trade was still a trade, so it doesn't get lumped into free agency some. I think the fact that there's more been notable trades than actual free agency makes people feel a little bit less muted about
that. Yeah, yeah. No, the greats
a little bit more muted about it.
About like if the overall grade for the offseason is like a B+ or an A-, I really don't care what the grades are for the individual silos within an offseason. You know what I mean? Like if the trade, because I like all the all three trades they've done, I really like. You know, the Tunsil trade, the Christian Kirk trade, and the CJ Gardner Johnson trade. I guess the Ed Ingram one was a trade also for a six, you know.
The season that Texans fans and myself would get excited about, and knowing it, I would keep telling myself, like, look, you don't win in free agency, blah, 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 all that stuff. Like, if you trade away Laremy Tunsil, that's one thing. But if then, like the Vikings or the Bears, you go out and sign and trade for 2 to 3 viable guys still in their prime offensive linemen, then that feels like, all right, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Let's get her done.
Yep.
There hasn't really been a let's get her done moment since the Tunsil trade.
Well, and I think it's funny you bring up the Bears and the Vikings, two teams that have aggressively gone to build the rebuild the interior of their, like, super aggressively gone to rebuild the interior of their offensive line. Maybe I'm just more acute to it seeing it this year because the Texans need to rebuild their offensive line. But like the Bears, the three moves they've made to sign Drew Dahlman, trade for Joe Tooney, and trade for Jonah Jackson, and then the Vikings pilfering the two guys from the Colts, you know, Ryan Kelly and Will Fries. I mean, those are big time aggressive moves, and I think that probably also kind of paints the Texans into a light of like, okay, what are we doing here? You know, let's go.
But I also think, amongst the fans
fans,
the media.
Yeah.
But I guess with Caserio and D'Amico, really, a lot of this could be also interpreted as, all right, this is either a vote of confidence in or a gamble on that you really like Nick Caley and Cole Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
That Cole Popovich in your meetings with him about what went wrong last year, maybe, you know, without totally selling out the old coaches, had some ideas or thoughts about the way things should have operated. And, you know, Nick Caley and Caserio both had dealings with or have worked with Cole Popovich before, but a lot of it really is riding on, all right, if Nick Caley actually knows what he's doing as an offensive coordinator, by that alone they should be a better offensive line than they were last year. They were the fifth highest paid offensive line and they were one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and it's sometimes a painful process resetting that, but we're in the middle of it right now.
Text message: do you guys think they're standing pat with Laremy with Titus Howard as one of the tackles on this team. Do you think Titus, week one, is Titus Howard a tackle for the Houston Texans?
I think he most likely is, but I think they're open to anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nick's gonna, there will be at least one more trade involving the offensive line between now and July,
yep.
I would guess.
Yep.
And, you know, you remember a couple years ago, George Fant ended up being a really good story because he played way better than he looked in training camp. But George Fant ended up having to start a bunch of games for you, and he didn't get signed until training camp. So I think the O-line is going to be a continued work in process.
Yeah, a lot of bodies, man. American Idol along the offensive line for sure. All right, speaking of Cole Popovich, some audio that will make you, I think, feel better, an assessment from somebody who was in the building with him back in New England, and we'll continue to dig into the Derek Stingley Jr. deal. Keep texting in your thoughts, 713-572-4610. If you missed it, Stingley, 3 years, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed. He is the highest paid defensive back now in the history of the NFL. Stay there.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
Hi, Pain and Pendergast with you. Final segment, Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be a Texan for a long, long time. At least 3 more years attached to his deal. $90 million, $89 million guaranteed. And so the Texans check off a big contractual to-do. I would imagine if there's one more coming this offseason, it might be Danielle Hunter. It might be Jalen Petrie. Not in the neighborhood of Derek Stingley income-wise, but...
That would be an interesting one, because I think, as Texans Cap and others have pointed out, that you get ahead of the market right now, where other cornerbacks are going to get their deals extended sometime this offseason. Caserio probably looked at the J.C. Horn deal, where he makes $25 million a year for 4 years, and figured there's going to be some of these guys that are going to sail past that. So go ahead and set the market, but then you're not reacting to the other deals and then chasing that and putting the opposite end of the spectrum from the way that Caserio handled this is Jerry Jones, where Jerry Jones just sits and waits and thinks, whoa, prices keep going up. That's about whatever yeah. goes up must come down, right? That's yeah. the way my pappy taught me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they keep going up generally. And that you get them under control for an extra 3 years. It's still enough of a carrot on a stick for younger players that, man, they're still going to be, he's still going to get a second contract after this, or a third contract, where
hopefully, yeah.
the prices will have raised that much more. And Caserio's been doing this with players now for a while, going back to Tunsil, where, hey, you get a lot of guaranteed money. It's a short-term deal. You're going to be, hey, if you play well, you're going to be underpaid by the end of this, but not for like 2 or 3 years of being underpaid.
Yeah.
You're going to have that carrot on a stick right in front of you that you're a free agent very soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the Dan and Ninko podcast. We've been talking a lot about the offensive line today, in large part because I think a lot of folks are still waiting for the Texans to make some more moves along the offensive line. But Cole Popovich is going to be the new offensive line coach. We really don't know a ton about him and how he's going to operate as the guy coaching the offensive line. Here's at least one former Patriot, though, Rob Ninkovich.
And to set the stage, yeah. they're having some kind of a conversation about the COVID restrictions, I think. So I have zero clue what their actual conversation was about COVID and vaccines and everything. But so you know, Cole Popovich didn't want to get vaccinated, so he was out of football for a year. He coached high school and in Massachusetts, so I don't know how that worked with the vaccine stuff. But still, I don't care. I don't care what anybody's – I don't care what your opinions are about vaccines or otherwise. The thing I cared about, and I think Sideline Sarah had posted this. That's where I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
This is their opinion, or Rob Ninkovich's opinion, of Cole Popovich as an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
They had a really good coach. They had a great yes. coach in Cole Popovich, who they wouldn't bring back because he didn't get a COVID shot.
Yeah, no.
Right? Yeah. So they would have had a great coach.
And he was with Scarnecchia for a long
Nobody's
time.
Nobody's
right?
talking about that. The radio doesn't talk yeah. about that. Nobody says.
Radio don't talk about a lot of stuff.
We had a great coach here, but we mandated everyone get a COVID shot, so he personally didn't feel comfortable with it, so we fired him.
Yeah. So I take offense to the radio doesn't talk about a lot of stuff. Here in Houston, we have talked about the fact that Cole Popovich spent a year out of football just because it's been an interesting little tidbit. Yeah. I didn't really think much about it at all. I could see from a Patriots fan perspective that you're like, okay, this team is falling apart, this, that, the other. So I like that Ninkovich called him a damn good offensive line coach.
Yeah, the only part you really need to know about from that clip is this.
They had a really good coach. They had a great yes. coach in Cole Popovich.
Damn.
Oh, sorry, a great coach, not great. A damn good coach, yeah. a great coach.
Yeah, really
yes.
good and great were just dropped on him in a six-second span, so take
the
that.
Only thought the only part I thought about that was if he's trying to drive home a point about the COVID restrictions, that maybe he could have oversold Cole Popovich a little bit.
Maybe.
Like that, you really screwed us,
yeah.
because if he's trying to make that point. But I don't think Ninkovich would do that. Okay.
How would you?
He felt that Ninkovich was a good offensive line coach.
Yeah, he was. I think he was the assistant O-line coach in New England.
No, he was an offensive line coach for 1 year. I want to say he was a co-offensive line coach.
Oh, okay, that might be what it was. I knew there was a yeah. caveat to the whole thing. Okay. So I feel good about that, man. Ninkovich says he's good. This offensive line right now, a big part of the bet they're making on this offensive line being better is Cole Popovich right now.
He was he went to Troy University for a year, whatever it was. So was it high school for
he
one
went,
year, too?
He left the Patriots in 2020. He went to Franklin High School for a year. He went to Troy for a year, and then he came to the Texans when D'Amico got here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-offensive line coach in the 2020 season.
There you go.
I think the other thing about Popovich that D'Amico dropped in an interview, I think on Texans Radio with John and Mark, that Popovich had an opportunity to go somewhere last year as an offensive line coach, but he chose to stay, which it's always nice to have that little bit of glow of, okay, he was a desired asset somewhere else. I think that reading the writing on the wall, I'm guessing Popovich likes D'Amico and the way he operates, and Strausser had been considering retirement at the time, so he probably looked at the Texans as a good opportunity. I wonder if he was surprised because he was probably thinking midway through the season, like, whoa, I screwed that one up.
Might be in jeopardy here. Yeah.
I really, whoever, wherever you wanted to go, I don't know if they were any better than the Texans offensive line.
No. Hey, by the way, speaking of the offensive line, I don't know if you noticed this. No, you've been taking a break from the platform formerly known as Twitter, I think you said.
I haven't been taking a total break from it. Okay. I try to get an hour or less of social media per day.
That's a good objective. I like that.
For a full-time sports radio host, that might be actually a little bit negligent, but still, that's
If it's keeping you in a better headspace, then so be it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the Texans did thank Laremy Tunsil on their social media. They did a graphic where they thanked him. I'm going to pull it up here so I can pull exactly. It was a picture, like two pictures, like one of Tunsil actually playing and then another picture with him kind of with a ski cap on, like cheering or something on the sidelines. Yeah. And they thank him. They gave John Weeks a full one-minute tribute video. So just saying, if I want to create some drama over who the Texans may have liked more on the way out.
You were the first one that noticed that in one of the promotional things this offseason that they had a bunch of the players on there, a bunch of them, like 15 players, and Laremy Tunsil wasn't on it.
Right.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Lineman. Yeah, and especially Laremy, right?
Yeah.
It was the graphic they put up. It was in season. It was the graphic they posted when they clinched the division. And it was like, they back-to-back champs at the bottom, and CJ's right in the middle with this lurking, gigantic Will Anderson above everybody else, and then D'Amico, and then sprinkled on the perimeter were like six players on each side. And I'm like, oh, okay, Tank Dell's there, Kamari Lassiter. Wow, Kalen Bullock's on here, rookie safety. Ooh, okay. John Weeks is on there, the long snapper. Another time Weeks gets a little, maybe Laremy gets short shrift in the social media department compared to old Weeksy. You know?
I'll tell you where I vary from a lot of other opinion givers, or at least, some people that have really gone way out of their way to defend Laremy Tunsil since he left, interestingly. So in both the pictures they used on this thank you, very prominently displayed is the captain's patch. And people have said, hey, leadership wasn't an issue. The players voted him captain. This is what you need to know about voting for captains. The players vote for the captains. And the who amongst that offensive line last year do you think, like, yep, those guys all knew and could identify the right kind of leader. So, yep, there you go.
Yeah.
There's our captain.
Mm-hmm.
It was an issue that they voted Laremy Tunsil a captain,
big
given
time.
The way that Laremy Tunsil operates.
Yes.
As CJ said, a vet. Not doing anything extra at practice. That's what in CJ's mind a vet does. You don't do anything extra in practice.
We have a listener.
When I'm looking around at the Texans during training camp and I see guys like Jerry Hughes, who's old as dirt, doing extra stuff at practice.
Yes.
Danielle Hunter, who's in his 30s, doing extra stuff at practice. Laremy's been operating like a vet since he was 26 years old.
Yes.
Now, there's old veterans that a lot of times because their bodies are so beat up, they're not doing a lot extra at practice. And then there's guys that have operated that way since they were 26 years old.
Yeah.
That's not a vet, CJ.
Mm-mm.
It's very important for CJ to know and understand that shouldn't be your definition of a vet.
I think hopefully, the moves the Texans are making should send that message. Hopefully he gets it. Somebody literally on the text page, in the Jim Adler text line, when it found that graphic we were talking about and counted the number of players, they just said 13 players, none of them Tunsil, LOL. I love that they went and counted it, counted them up. Payne and Pendergast. So the big news today, Derek Stingley Jr., 3 years, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed. I got to say that the $30 million is more than I would have predicted. Like that part pops.
Yeah, except that I think that Caserio read the market and read where a lot of the where the salaries are at cornerback right now.
Yep.
And I think that he expects that to go up pretty dramatically, and that $25 million was probably not quite pricing the market the right way. So you do it early in the offseason, and I'm over the next 18 months, Stingley might very well end up being the fifth or sixth highest paid cornerback by the end of next offseason.
Yeah, I got to go see what they're saying in New York and Kansas City and a couple other places about this deal. If they, you know, where they've got cornerbacks who are, you know, who kind of live in the same cornerback neighborhood as Derek Stingley Jr. If they're like, oh man, thanks.
Well, when did Pat Surtain do his deal? Was it last offseason?
It was last offseason. He's a year older than Stingley.
He's making $24 million a year.
Dude. Now they're in Denver today saying, like, good thing we got that deal done, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The market went up by $6 million.
But I wonder, though, because we talk about the short-term deals, I wonder if Pat Surtain, his potential out is after 2028.
Okay.
So he signed a four-year extension.
Yeah.
That's at some point, if Pat Surtain keeps playing the way he is, he's going to be agitating for a new deal.
Yes, he will.
That's why the three-year extension makes so much sense.
Well,
because by the time a player starts to feel like, hey, man, I'm dramatically underpaid, he's only a year away from free agency.
Yeah.
And the carrot on the stick, the achievable contract while you're still young is right there.
Yeah.
So you don't ideally end up with as many murky and annoying situations like with a Trey Hendrickson or people like that.
Nick's done a pretty good job of cobbling together a roster or a system or a philosophy that's resulted in very little contractual drama. I'm putting Deshaun Watson aside, obviously. That wasn't his deal, nor was he the reason Deshaun, you know, wanted to trade and then all the other stuff. The only one I can think of is Steven Nelson, who's like, I just want more money.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Kudos to the Broncos. The Surtain's has an out for him after 2027.
Well, there you go.
So like the extension would be 2025. It kicks in 26, 27. So they did largely what the Texans did.
Cool. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. Gentlemen,
how are you?
Great to see both of you.
What up, though?
You too.
Gut reaction to the Derek Stingley Jr. contract extension.
I shouldn't be anybody's agent because I was looking at, you know, the top of the cornerback market and being like, all right, we clearly have a percentage of the cap. Just apply that. And if I had done that, he's probably in like the 26 maybe range. Nope.
Yeah.
I would have lost a few million. So we're changing a little bit of the percentage.
So what's the percentage of the cap on the $30 million? Have you done that?
Actually, surprisingly enough, I've not. So if you give me a moment, I will absolutely do that math.
What about you, John?
Get it done when you can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to do it. And
no nervousness about the injury history with the player or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, as an NFL player, he's been okay, by and large. But I just like the fact that you're getting the deal done.
Yeah.
Get it done as soon as you can and more to come.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think Seth and I were just talking about potentially a Petrie. Petrie's up for a contract extension. Also, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near, obviously, nowhere near what Stingley got. Petrie coming off of really just one year worthy of an extension. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something in the $10-12 million range. I could see that with Petrie, maybe.
If I'm doing my basic math correct, 10.7%, 11%.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, okay.
My bad.
Well, you're about to say something.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just like to turn you guys on and listen to you.
The smooth music.
Okay, so the downsides, the potential downsides of Stingley, because we didn't, Sean and I were eagerly awaiting somebody to slam this. So maybe to uncover a blind spot or something. The injuries are a big one, where I know, John, like, it's only been 3 years. I think he missed 8 games his first year, and he missed 6 games in his second year. So that's still pretty notable. You see a guy played 9 games and then 11 games, and then this last year plays 17. I'm still a little bit concerned about his long-term durability. That's where a 3-year extension makes me feel a lot better about that. But there's plenty of examples in football, baseball, everywhere else of guys that who have injury issues early on, then kind of figure out how to handle their bodies and end up being fine after that. Yeah, you know, Frank Gore was a guy that tore both his ACLs early in his career and then ended up being one of the most durable guys in the history of football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. I think it was hamstrings both times with Stingley since he got into the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make me feel great. I mean, anything soft tissue, I'm always
hamstrings are something, though, that a lot of times guys, just by the way they're training, sometimes invite hamstring issues. And if you tweak it a little bit, you stop tweaking the hamstring.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So I'm sure Stingley would be a big topic on the show today. What's the question of the day today, by the way?
Well, let's talk about your bracket. What's the craziest bracket story / strategy that you have experienced or witnessed?
Okay. That I've I mean, there's always the picking by mascot. There's the, you know, picking by.
I lost to a dog once.
You did? You lost to a dog? Okay, well, that's...
Who amongst us, you know?
It picked which team to pee on or something like that?
Yeah, it was toys.
Oh, toys, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And won the whole damn thing.
Really?
Yeah, first place.
I didn't win the whole damn thing with this, but I did a bracket 1 year where I just picked the most famous alum from each school and just worked
that way.
You know, like whoever's more famous wins the bracket there. Yeah.
The Houston Zoo does the seals every year. I think they still do that.
Okay.
You know, the seals pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably mine.
Mm-hmm.
My most annoying one is that I just had a computer do it for me, just online at one point, and I finished almost dead last. And I was really annoyed because I'm like, all right, I'm going to defer to almighty big intelligence here.
Yeah.
And I ended up looking like a moron. Yeah, I didn't like that. That was a year, remember a couple years ago, it was a ridiculous number of bracket busters early on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel as bad about it, but still.
Do we have a bracket? Do we have anything going on around
here?
We're going to have one.
Yeah. We're going to have one.
Good.
All of us are volunteering to participate.
Okay. I'm happy to. Can I win money?
I think we're going to
spirits, I think,
win some whiskey or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's better. That's where the money was going to go.
That's metaphorical money right there is what that is.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, the floor is yours.
Thank you, friend.
Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies, and just heed my advice, Sean. If anybody ever offers you anything greater than $500 million to do just about anything, just accept it.
Stop
negotiating after that
listening,
point.
Listening, Vladimir? It's crazy, man. It's just wild. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.